Turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a companion message to the one this morning, and we have just begun our study in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. And there are indeed some things that may not be easy to understand. As we learn from Peter, that's exactly what he said about the Apostle Paul. He said he wrote some things that were not easy to be understood. He didn't say they could not be understood. He said they are not easy to be understood. And so sometimes we must struggle with the truth, but if we struggle with it before God and we desire the truth, I believe He will teach us, don't you? And give us His Word. Sometimes it takes quite a bit of study. This message this afternoon, as we say, is companion to that which we studied this morning. It will take us into a practical route as well as doctrinal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 16 and 17, and the Apostle Paul writes, "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Well, these verses can only be understood as Scripture alone can be understood spiritually. We must have a spiritual understanding. And the Scripture says the natural man, and the natural man is simply the Adam man, or the person from Adam who has nothing but nature. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We must understand spiritually in order to be able to comprehend and apply the truth of God. So, the truth herein expressed is glorious. It's glorious beyond anything in this present world, and is transcendent in that it applies to those who have been given a new birth, those who have been born from heaven, those who have been born of God, those who have been born again, those who possess newness of life, alone have the capacity to understand spiritual truth. They have been brought into an everlasting kingdom, have been made a people of the eternal ages. And that's a wondrous thing. These verses that we read here are vitally connected with what immediately precedes them. In verses 14 and 15, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Those who live unto Christ know him. Know, K-N-O-W, in Scripture often has a sense that goes beyond mere cognizance, correct? It is a relational word. Those who are in Christ are related to Him. Those who are in Christ know Him. Those who are in Christ live unto Him because they know Him, and they are in Him. When one lives unto self, it is because they are tied to this world, being of the earth, earthy. They have no vital, spiritual, and eternal life. They may be very religious. They may be very moral. They may not want to do things that are wrong and dirty and filthy and immoral, but they are not in Christ unless they have been born of God. Have a new birth. And if they are born of God, they have a new understanding. They have a whole new set of values. They have a whole new direction of life. They do come to love what they once hated and hate what they once loved. So they have been brought out of this world in its fallen condition and have been brought to a new relationship with God by the Lord Jesus Christ and are partakers of His life. Christ liveth in me. They are those who understand and are affected by the meaning of the cross as concerns their old state and condition in the world. They are crucified to it. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The old person has to die. The old man has to die. That's the problem with most. They don't want to die. They want the world. They want the things of it, and they want the things that assure them that maybe they have eternal life and somehow they're going to be going to heaven when they die. They have all these things. That's great. But the truly saved have a cross. Do they not? Surely they do. I remember Hubert Davis, he made a tremendous observation. He said, what's the difference between the true church and the harlot church? The true church has a cross. And I'm not talking about a figure. The true church has a cross, is crucified with Christ. The harlot only has the symbol. So, think about it. That was a tremendous observation. These are those who have been made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. These are those who are risen with Christ and are thus equipped with the capacity to set their affection on things above and not on things on the earth. So, there comes to this new man in Christ. And man is generic. Just like when we come from Adam, mankind. God created Adam. He created the woman. The woman is a man too. Well, I better explain myself. Woman is female man. So it's the mankind, Adam. Kind. So, when the Scripture speaks of man, it is not speaking of excluding the female gender. It is speaking inclusively in that sense. So, there's radical difference in the understanding of the new man in Christ. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. What in the world is he talking about? This verse will only yield its pregnant meaning when we see what Paul means by the term after the flesh. To begin with, he is speaking of perspective. The perspective of the one who knows something of another. He's speaking of the basis of that knowledge. It is not and does not mean knowledge of men as they are in the flesh, although it does mean the knowledge of something about them. It does not mean knowing Christ as He was in the flesh, but rather the knowledge that is formed according to a fleshly standard, as opposed to a spiritual standard. In other words, the basis by which one understands something. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying we no longer estimate men or Christ the way we once did. But rather now from an entirely different basis. The term after the flesh means by nature, apart from the new regenerate life of the believer, which that old nature is termed the old man in Scripture. Paul is using flesh here in its ethical, not its material sense, as he does in Romans. If, as he says there, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. That is, if human nature, unregenerate, dictates the way you live, then you'll die. And in this sense, flesh stands in opposition to spirit. He's speaking of the understanding, judging after the flesh, or having the capacity to judge or know something spiritually. And it is the old man or nature as distinct from the new man created anew in Christ Jesus. The one who is not in Christ is in the flesh. They live in the flesh. They only comprehend things naturally. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, you are in Christ and no longer in the flesh, as Paul speaks in Romans chapter 8. But when did this knowledge change, this capacity to understand things spiritually, not to just judge by nature or after the flesh? When did this knowledge change? What brought about this spiritual understanding as opposed to simply a fleshly understanding? Well, the opening word of verse 16 is wherefore. And wherefore points to what the apostle had just taught. And then the henceforth, wherefore henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, means from that time forward and permanently. Wherefore henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. In true conversion, one has become experientially crucified with Christ. As to the old man, as in Romans 6:6, our old man is crucified with him. And by being incorporated into the life of Christ and Christ's life in them, their knowledge and manner of living has radically changed and permanently changed. As in verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The henceforth would then mean that from the time of conversion, from the time of conversion and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, the judgment, the discernment, the understanding of the believer has become spiritual and radically different than what it was before. The spiritual person, the one who is alive in Christ, the one who is born of God, the one who is born again, that one has a capacity to understand, to see things they did not see before, to comprehend things in a way they could not comprehend them before. So to the Pharisees who saw and heard the Lord Jesus, didn't they? The Pharisees see and hear him? Yeah, they did. Did they, though, see and hear him savingly? No. They saw him. They heard him. They didn't hear him savingly. To them, our Lord said in John 8:15, ye judge after the flesh. The same meaning. They only had the flesh, human nature, apart from regeneration, and no discernment spiritually, no spiritual understanding. They, And they only who are born of God, they who possess the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, see, hear, and understand spiritually. Again, from 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The believer forms his judgment, his discernment, his understanding of things from a different basis than the natural man. Not only that, from a radically different basis than before he was begotten of God unto life in the Lord Jesus Christ, before true conversion took place. His understanding is changed thereafter. Now, what Paul is saying here then should be rather clear in verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, by a fleshly standard. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now the world's standard, or the way the world judges men, is by what? By outward appearance, isn't it? By things they see taking place, things that happen, men will form their judgment. Well, that's the way it is concerning man by nature. Man looketh where? On the outward appearance. The way things appear to him by nature. He forms his judgment by what he sees by physical sight, what he understands naturally in the natural world. So, man looketh on the outward appearance, the Lord looketh on the heart. If we have the mind of Christ, we have a different basis of understanding. Well, if we could take the Corinthian epistle and show you that there were those who were influencing the Corinthians, who were teaching against the Apostle Paul, making an appearance of things that were coming along and showing credentials. You know, we have these great credentials. You ought to listen to us. And they were claiming things that would impress the Corinthians, but it was all outward, all external. But those who had a capacity for spiritual understanding should have known better, of course, than those things. And that does have its relationship to what the Apostle Paul is speaking of. But he's talking about spiritual knowledge as opposed to carnal or fleshly knowledge. But when did this knowledge change? What brought about this spiritual understanding as opposed to fleshly understanding or natural understanding? And that opening word again of verse 16, wherefore, points to what the apostle had just taught. And again, the henceforth means that it had changed from then and permanently, from the time of conversion. So that's rather important to understand. The sad fact, and the apostle makes this known as well, is that there are those who even know the Lord, who should know better, who've not progressed as they should, and even though they rightly confess Christ, they can fall into judging after the flesh. You think that's possible? You think it's possible for a believer to judge after the flesh? You think it's possible for a believer to act like an unbeliever? Some of you seem pretty sure about it. Yeah. Matter of fact, that happened to the Corinthians, didn't it? the more they got away from Christ and Him crucified, singularly, the cross, the more they turned to their own methods and the worldly methods that they were engaged in, the things that impressed them so much prior to their conversion, the more they got away from true discernment and the more they acted just like men of the world instead of those who were regenerate to each other. Did that happen to the Corinthians? It did in 1 Corinthians 3. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now you're able. Are you not carnal? He says, and walk as men. So, indeed, that can take place. But I want to move on and consider the new man in Christ in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This man in Christ is a new creation. He has become, or she, a member of the new order of things. The expression in Christ, of course, sums up profoundly the incredible significance of one's redemption. The gloriousness of redemption. They are no longer of the old order of things. They have been brought into a new creation by new birth. They have been brought transcendently into a new order of things. They have been delivered from the old order of things, and the old order is perishing, is it not? But in the new order of things, they have been brought into an eternal existence. They are already part of the age to come. And in this, the pretentious standards of the world become very insignificant to them. They don't judge after the worldly standard, after the flesh. They are able to see things in a different light. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Is there anyone truly in Christ who has not been called out of the world? No. Created in Christ Jesus. And that exhortation in Ephesians 4 that you put off concerning the former conversation, the way you lived before conversion, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The one newly created in Christ has a different capacity for understanding and seeing things that transcend the world, that go beyond it, and the standards of the world become those things which are nothing to them. And this takes place in true conversion, as the tense of the verb, old things are passed away, points back to a definite event. Even the new birth of life in Christ. Old things are passed away. So the one who is in Christ is already of another age. Matter of fact, they are the people of the last days. The people of God are an eschatological people. That means they are the people of the last time. And yet they have entered into an age that shall never come to an end. It will only come to a glorious estate. That's a wondrous thing. How else could one understand eternal life? Because does your body, is it going to live forever in its present state? No. But does one who is in Christ possess eternal life? Yes. Who else can understand that this body is a house? It is a temporary dwelling place. It's like a tent that's going to be taken down. But there's another house. We but reside in it. When one is in Christ, they have the capacity to understand that they belong to that which is eternal. They have a life that transcends that which is natural. They have the capacity to see things that cannot be seen by the natural man. They can lay hold of things that are glorious beyond anything any natural man could properly consider. If they did consider it, they wouldn't live for the world even while professing to be Christian. True? The reason they live for the world while professing to be a Christian, the reason they have everything that their attention is in this world is because they have no life in Christ. Very religious, but unsaved, unregenerate. The regenerate have the capacity to see, comprehend, discern things that are spiritual. And they've had that from the time of conversion, when old things pass away. That points back to that definite event, the new birth of life in the Lord Jesus Christ, already of another age. The one who's in Christ already belongs to the new heavens and the new earth. Already. Oh, there are things that are going to come that will be manifested gloriously, like dealing with Revelation 21 this morning, and we have a new heaven and a new earth that comes down from God out of heaven. That's new birth. That's new life in Christ. Our birth is a heavenly birth. Old things are passed away there. No more sorrow, crying. Well, when we come to hear the gospel is what kind of a sound? Joyful sound. So that in Christ, all things pass away. And all things are become new already. We're already in a heavenly Jerusalem. We're already citizens of a heavenly country. We are already in Zion. If we can comprehend that, pray tell me, does that not mean that we must have the capacity to understand the things the citizens of Zion understand? Glorious things. Wondrous things indeed. Already of the new heavens and the new earth. If we are in Christ, we have been raised in Him and seated where? In heavenly places. No longer belonging to the world. Our lives then are to be governed, are they not, by different principles than the world. New directions. Having been delivered from this present evil world, as Paul taught in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. And thus the truly born of God, newly created in Christ, are to conduct their lives in this present time by the conduct of the new order they have been brought into, not that of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You see, the one who is in Christ has a different direction. They have different sight. They see things differently. They comprehend things differently. And so the grace of God that bringeth salvation also teaches us, doesn't it? The very same grace of God that brings salvation teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only heart that's going to be like the heart of the psalmist who said, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." That's the only one who come to find their joy in God, not in the world. That's the one who will come to see things beyond it and recognize, yeah, we're going to leave it one day. But we're going to leave behind everything that opposes our God. And we've got glory awaiting. The Apostle Paul viewed things that way, didn't he? "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look, not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The Apostle Paul cited things eternal, even while he lived under affliction, persecution, and difficulty in this world, and still rejoiced, and tells us to do so. To rejoice in the Lord, how often? Always. And again, I say, rejoice. You see, God would have us know what we have in Christ. If you come to see Him, you will desire Him, you will seek Him, you will want Him. The tinsel of this world will not be that which takes your heart away. You can be all alone and never be alone. Never be lonely if you know the glorious presence of the Lord Himself. And the things that afflict you in this world, they will become but those blessed goads that push you further toward the things of God. You see, when one is newly in Christ, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." His or her views have radically changed. Old things are passed away. "Behold, all things are become new. No longer is the world viewed from its own perspective, but rather it's viewed with eyes of the soul. There's the loving and living unto one who cannot be seen with eyes of flesh, but known and served from a heart taken up with Him and the doing of His will." We have not come under any kind of difficulty that those early saints came under when the new covenant, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, began to be proclaimed and understood, and the truth of God going forth into a hostile world. Those saints suffered mightily. And you've but to read the annals of church history and begin in the days of the apostles. And shortly thereafter, what the believers suffered, incredible things. They lost their properties. They lost their lives many times. They suffered incredibly. And yet they still rejoiced. How do we know that? Peter says they did. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame before Him in love." That's the wrong passage. But "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. True faith, genuine faith, has with it joy, does it not? Because it sights things beyond this world. They lost their properties. They lost their liberties. They lost the things in this world that men cherish most, and yet they had joy. What about you and me? What if we lost those things? Would we react that way? Only if we are able to judge, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Having spiritual sight, seeing things that are eternal, beholding Him whom, though we see Him not, yet believing, we rejoice. Listen, if you understand that you have been brought into an eternal kingdom, if you realize that you are part of the ages to come forever and are the people of the eternal ages, could you not rejoice in that? You're not going to be here long. I'm not going to be here long. A few seconds, as it were, in comparison to eternity. If you really believed that, you'd seek God more fervently than you ever have. You'd seek His truth and try to get yourself weaned from things that have no meaning if you really believed it. Do you? Do you see things that are eternal? Well, you begin by beholding Him, by looking to Christ, by the wonders of redeeming grace and love. We who are in Christ cannot perish. Whew. You get that? Can you receive such? Can't perish. We've been given the life of Christ. We are in Him. Can He perish? No. And we are in Him. This new creation, this new creature in Christ, is the most misunderstood person there is. The world cannot possibly understand the one who's truly in Christ. The life becomes radically different. The things sought after are radically different than that which was before. The desires change radically. The manner of living turns about from what it was before. The things the believer desires and rejoices their heart, the worldling finds them to be dull. But now the believer, just the opposite of that worldling, finds the things the worldling loves to be dull. And desires more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. For to me to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain. Misunderstood, this one in Christ, only the one in Christ can understand those who are in Him. No one else can. And they alone have the bewilderment, the capacity to behold. Behold. All things are become new. Behold. All things are become new. They alone have the capacity to do so. The tense means things that never grow old, but rather things that are everlastingly new. Behold, all things are become new. That means they remain ever so. Always new. Always fresh. You know, I can remember when I was a boy and reading a book. I didn't like to read. I'd rather be out throwing a ball or doing whatever, you know. I'd really rather do other things, but yet reading, you came to find things that were fascinating and enjoyable at times. But I could read a book. I could read a book, and I'm through with it. I've gotten what I want, and I'm through with reading that book. But you know, the Scriptures aren't like that. I'm still trying to learn the Scriptures. I'm still endeavoring to learn what's in the Word of God. Things become fresh. I'm still amazed when I look in a passage and I can wonder, how in the world did I miss that? I've only read it 400 times. I mean, you know, this is a living Word. This is God's Word. This is truth is alive. It is powerful. It bespeaks things that cannot be known by the natural man. And when God opens the heart and the mind to His truth, it becomes blessed. And when we truly lay hold of it and believe, we have a blessedness that goes beyond anything the richest person in the world has. We have that which goes beyond the one who lives for pleasure and seems to get everything, or lives for fame and seems to get it all. They might, for a minute. But you can read history and you can read things modern. Those who go after these things are the most miserable people there are. You can look to Hollywood if you like. Those are people that simply want to exalt themselves in every way possible. They want to be the center of everything. They end up with broken marriage after broken marriage after broken marriage. Because selfishness doesn't work in a marriage, does it? They end up sometimes broken to the point that they take their lives. Where's their joy? Where's their happiness? The devil is a right good deceiver. But in the end, it's bitter. And he knows it. But those who are in Christ, they have the capacity to behold things that are become new. Always new. Always fresh. You ever get tired of hearing that Christ died for your sins? You ever get tired of hearing of who He is, the gloriousness of God's wondrous grace and power and person made known in Him? And what belongs to Him and the wonders of His creation, and He created everything? Behold, all things have become new. Those who are in Christ belong to the new age that lasts forever. The new order of things, not the new age that the religion has come up with. The new order that lasts forever. You either belong to this world, you find your delight in the things of it, and shall share in its fate, or you belong to Christ. And are of the new order of things that shall never pass away, but only pass into far, far greater glory. The psalmist spoke of those who have their portion in this life. I don't want my portion in this life, do you? There are those who have their portion in Christ. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. As in Psalm 16:5. The single determining factor is your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know Him, then you have the capacity to see what cannot be seen by the worldling. You have the capacity of knowledge and understanding that cannot belong to the natural man, religious or not, that only belongs to those who are born of God. You have desires that are different. You have the capacity to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You have the capacity to know and receive and learn the truth of God in His Word as He has given it to us. Thy Word is truth. You've come to love things that you never thought you would love, and come to hate things you thought, well, those are the things that really make me happy. Things radically change for one who's truly in Christ.